Hello, and welcome back to the Book Club Commune with me, your host, Ivy Poesy. Today we're going to be reading A Poe's Book Worship by Mao. I'm going through my copy of Mao's collected work, which is the Slavoj Žižek one, which is the Mao on Practice and Contradiction. And I'm just going through it, reading it as I come across. And the next one was Opposed Book Worship. I had a little poll on Twitter between Opposed Book Worship and On Practice, and Opposed Book Worship won, so I'm going to be reading On Practice next. Also, real quick, I just want to say the length of the episodes as I go through Mao are going to fluctuate heavily. It's not going to be like Black Bolshevik or Reform or Revolution, where the episodes were usually around the same length as each other, where, you know, Reform or Revolution, it was all around between 30 and 40 minutes, and Black Bolshevik was anywhere between 40 minutes and an hour. You're not going to get that with this. Some episodes are only going to be like 20 minutes long. Some will be closer towards like, you know, 40 to 50 minutes. It's just going to be how it is. I don't get paid for this. You don't have to pay for this. So who cares how long it is? None of us are having to spend money for it. It's free content. So fuck it, and let's just get right into it. A Poe's Book Worship, published May 1930. 1. No investigation, no right to speak. Unless you have investigated a problem, you will be deprived of the right to speak on it. Isn't that too harsh? Not in the least. When you have not probed into a problem, into the present facts and its past history, and know nothing of its essentials, whatever you say about it will undoubtedly be nonsense. Talking nonsense solves no problems, as everyone knows. So why is it unjust to deprive you of the right to speak? Quite a few comrades always keep their eyes shut and talk nonsense, and for a communist that is disgraceful. How can a communist keep his eyes shut and talk nonsense? It won't do. It won't do. You must investigate. You must not talk nonsense. 2. To investigate a problem is to solve it. You can't solve a problem? Well, get down to investigating it, both the present situation and its past history. When you have investigated the problem thoroughly, you will know how to solve it. Conclusions invariably come after investigation and not before. Only a blockhead cudgels his brains on his own or together with the group to find a solution or evolve an idea without first making some investigation. It must be stressed that this cannot possibly lead to an effective solution or a good idea. In other words, he is bound to arrive at a wrong solution and a wrong idea. There are not a few comrades doing inspection work, as well as guerrilla leaders and new cadres newly in office who like to make political pronouncements the moment they arrive at a place and who strut about criticizing this and condemning that when they have only seen the surface of things or minor details. Such purely subjective nonsensical talk is indeed detestable. These people are bound to make a mess of things, lose the confidence of the masses, and prove incapable of solving any problem at all. When they come across difficult problems, quite a number of people in leading positions simply have a sigh without being able to solve them. They lose patience and ask to be transferred on grounds that they have not the ability and cannot do the job. These are cowards' words. Just get moving on your own two legs, go to the rounds of every section placed under your charge, and inquire into everything, as Confucius did. That way, you'll be able to solve the problems, however limited your ability. For although your head may be empty before you go outdoors, it won't be empty when you return, but will contain all the material necessary for the solution of the problems. And that is how your problems are solved. Must you go outdoors? Not necessarily. You can call a fact-finding meeting of people familiar with the situation in order to get at the source of what you call a difficult problem and come to know how it stands now, and then it will be easy to solve your difficult problem. Investigation may be likened to the long months of pregnancy and solving a problem to the day of birth. To investigate a problem is, indeed, to solve it. 3. Opposed Book Worship. Whatever is written in a book is right. such is still the mentality of culturally backwards Chinese peasants. Strangely enough, within the Communist Party, there are also people who always say in a discussion, show me where it is written in the book. When we say that a directive of a higher organ of leadership is correct, that is not just because it comes from a higher organ of leadership, but because its contents conform with both the objective and subjective circumstances of the struggle and meet its requirements. It is quite wrong to take a formalistic attitude and blindly carry out directives without discussing and examining them in the light of actual conditions, simply because they come from a higher organ. It is the mischief done by this formalism which explains why the line and tactics of the party do not take deeper root among the masses. To carry out a directive of higher organ blindly and seemingly without any disagreement is not really to carry it out, but is the most artful way of opposing or sabotaging it. The method of studying the social sciences exclusively from the book is likewise extremely dangerous and may even lead one onto the road of counter-revolution. Clearly, proof of this is provided by the fact that the whole batches of Chinese communists who confine themselves to their books and their study of the social sciences have turned into counter-revolutionaries. When we say Marxism is correct, it is certainly not because Marx was a prophet, but because his theories have been proven correct in our practice and in our struggle. We need Marxism in our struggle. In our acceptance of his theory, no formalization of such mystical notions as prophecy ever enters our minds. Many who have read Marxist books have become renegades from the revolution, whereas illiterate workers often grasp Marxism very well. Of course, we should study Marxist books, but this study must be integrated with our country's actual conditions. We need books, but we must overcome book worship, which is divorced from the actual situation. How can we overcome book worship? The only way is to investigate the actual situation. 4. Without investigating the actual situation, there is bound to be an idealist appraisal of class forces and an idealist guidance in work, resulting in either opportunism or putschism. Do you doubt this conclusion? Facts will force you to accept it. Just try to appraise the political situation or guide the struggle without making any investigation, and you will see whether or not such appraisal or guidance is groundless and idealist, and whether or not it will lead to opportunist or putschist errors. Certainly, it will. This is not because of a failure to make careful plans before taking action, but because of a failure to study the specific social situations carefully before making the plans, as often happens in our Red Army guerrilla units. Officers of the Li Kuai type do not discriminate when they punish the men for offenses. As a result, the offenders feel that they have been unfairly treated. Many disputes ensue, and the leaders lose all prestige. Does this not happen frequently in the Red Army? We must wipe out idealism and guard against all opportunists and putschist errors before we can succeed in winning over the masses and defeating the enemy. The only way to wipe out idealism is to make the effort and investigate the actual situation. The number of small merchants, middle merchants, and big merchants. We should investigate not only the state of each trade, but more especially the class relations within it. We should investigate the relationships, not only between the different trades, but more especially between the different classes. Our chief method of investigation must be to dissect the different social classes, the ultimate purpose being to understand their interrelations, to arrive at a correct appraisal of class forces, and then to formulate the correct tactics for the struggle. 5. The aim of social and economic investigation is to arrive at a correct appraisal of class forces, and then to formulate correct tactics for the struggle. This is our answer to the question, why do we have to investigate social and economic conditions? Accordingly, the object of our investigation is all the social classes, and not fragmentary social phenomena. Of late, the comrades in the 4th Army of the Red Army have generally given attention to the work of investigation, but the method many of them employ is wrong. The results of their investigation are therefore as trivial as grocers' accounts, or resemble the many strange tales of a country bumpkin hears when he comes to town, or like a distant view of a populous city from a mountaintop. This kind of investigation is of little use and cannot achieve our main purpose. Our main purpose is to learn the political and economic situation of various social classes. The outcome of our investigation should be a picture of the present situation of each class and the ups and downs of its development. For example, when we investigate the composition of the peasantry, not only must we know the number of owner peasants and semi-owner peasants and tenement peasants who are differentiated according to landowning and landholding relationships, but more especially we must know defining which classes constitute the main force in the revolutionary struggle, which classes are to be won over as allies, and which classes are to be overthrown. This is our sole purpose. What are the social classes requiring investigation? They are the industrial proletariat, the handicraft workers, the farm laborers, the poor peasants, the urban poor, the lumpen proletariat, the master handicraftsmen, the small merchants, the middle peasants, the rich peasants, the landlords, the commercial bourgeoisie, and the industrial bourgeoisie. In our investigation, we should give attention to the state of all these classes or strata. Only the industrial proletariat and the industrial bourgeoisie are absent in the areas where we are now working, and we constantly come across all the others. Our tactics of struggle are tactics in relation to these classes and strata. Another serious shortcoming in our past investigations has been the undue stress on the countryside to the neglect of the towns, so that many comrades have always been vague about our tactics towards the urban, poor, and commercial bourgeoisie. The development of the struggle has enabled us to leave the mountains for the plains. We have descended physically, but we're still up on the mountains mentally. We must understand the towns as well as the countryside, or we shall be unable to meet the needs of the revolutionary struggle. 6. Victory in China's revolutionary struggle will depend on the Chinese comrades' understanding of Chinese conditions. The aim of our struggle is to attain socialism via the stage of democracy. In this task, the first step is to complete the democratic revolution by winning the majority of the working class and arousing the peasant masses and the urban poor for the overthrow of the landlord class, imperialism, and the Kuomintang regime. The next step is to carry out the socialist revolution, which will follow on the development of this struggle. The fulfillment of this great revolutionary task is no simple or easy job, and will depend entirely on correct and firm tactics on the part of the proletarian party. If its tactics of struggle are wrong, or irresolute and wavering, the revolution will certainly suffer temporary defeat. It must be borne in mind that the bourgeois parties, too, constantly discuss their tactics of struggle. They are considering how to spread reformist influences among the working class so as to mislead it and turn it away from the Communist Party leadership, how to get the rich peasants to put down the uprisings of the poor peasants, and how to organize gangsters to suppress the revolutionary struggles. In a situation where the class struggle grows increasingly acute and is waged at close quarters, the proletariat has to depend for its victory entirely on the correct and firm tactics of struggle of its own party, the Communist Party. A Communist Party's correct and unswerving tactics of struggle can in no circumstance be created by a few people sitting in an office. They emerge in the course of mass struggle, that is, through actual experience. Therefore, we must at all times study social conditions and make practical investigations. Those comrades who are inflexible, conservative, formalistic, and groundlessly optimistic think that the present tactics of struggle are perfect, that the book of documents of the party's 6th National Congress guarantees lasting victory, and that they can always be victorious merely by adhering to the established methods. These ideas are absolutely wrong and have nothing in common with the idea of that communists should create favorable new situations through struggle. They represent a purely conservative line. Unless it is completely discarded, this line will cause a great loss to the revolution and do harm to these comrades themselves. There are obviously some comrades in our Red Army who are content to leave things as they are, who do not seek to understand things thoroughly and are groundlessly optimistic, and they spread the fallacy that this is proletarian. They eat their fill and sit dozing in their office all day long without ever moving a step and going out among the masses to investigate. Whether they open their mouths, whenever they open their mouths, their platitudes make people sick. To awaken these comrades, we must raise our voices and cry out to them. Change your conservative ideas without delay. Replace them by progressive and militant communist ideas. Get into the struggle. Go among the masses and investigate the facts. 7. The technique of investigation. First, hold fact-finding meetings, and undertake investigation through discussions. This is the only way to get near the truth, the only way to draw the conclusions. It is easy to make mistakes if you do not hold fact-finding meetings for investigation through discussion, but simply rely on the individual relating his own experience. You cannot possibly draw more or less correct conclusions at such meetings if you put questions casually instead of raising key questions for discussion. Second, what kind of people should attend the fact-finding meetings? They should be people well acquainted with social and economic conditions. As far as age is concerned, older people are best because they are rich in experience and not only know what is going on but understand the causes and effects. Young people with experience of struggle should also be included because they have progressive ideas and sharp eyes. As far as occupation is concerned, there should be workers, peasants, merchants, intellectuals, and occasionally soldiers, sometimes even vagrants. Naturally, when a particular subject is being looked into, those who have nothing to do with it need not be present. For example, workers, peasants, and students need not attend when commerce is a subject of investigation. Third, which is better, a large fact-finding meeting or a small one? That depends on the investigator's ability to conduct a meeting. If he is good at it, a meeting of as many as a dozen or even 20 or more people can be called. A large meeting has its advantages. The participants' answers to your questions can supply you with fairly accurate statistics, such as the percentage of poor peasants in the total peasant population, and enable you to come to fairly correct conclusions, such as whether equal or differentiated land redistribution is better. Of course, it has its disadvantages too. Unless you are skillful in conducting meetings, you will find it difficult to keep order. So the number of people attending a meeting depends on the competence of the investigator. However, the minimum is 3, or otherwise the information obtained will be too limited to correspond to the real situation. Fourth, prepare a detailed outline for the investigation. A detailed outline should be prepared beforehand, and the investigator should ask questions according to the outline, with those present at the meeting giving their answers. Any points which are unclear or doubtful should be put up for discussion. The detailed outline should include main subjects and subheadings and detailed items. For instance, taking commerce as a main subject, it can have such subheadings such as cloth, grain, and other necessities, and medicinal herbs. Again, under cloth, there can be such details such as calico, homespun, and silk, and satin. Fifth, personal participation. Everyone with responsibility for giving leadership, from the chairman of the township government to the chairman of the central government, from the detachment leader to the commander-in-chief, from the secretary of the party branch to the general secretary, must personally undertake investigations into specific social and economic conditions, and not merely rely on reading reports. For investigation and reading reports are two entirely different things. Sixth, probe deeply. Anyone new to investigation work should make one or two thorough investigations in order to gain full knowledge of a particular place, say a village or town, or a particular problem, say the problem of grain or currency. Deep probing into a particular problem or place will make future investigation of other places or problems easier. Seventh, make your own notes. The investigator should not preside at a fact-finding meeting and give proper guidance to those present, but should also make his own notes and record the results himself. To have others do it for him is no good. End of Poe's Book Worship. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Book Club Commune. Next episode, I am going to be reading On Practice, although I'm still not 100% sure if that episode's going to be a very long one and do On Practice and On Contradiction in the same episode. That one's still up in the air. You'll definitely will be hearing On Practice next. It's just a question if it will be Practice and Contradiction or just On Practice. Thank you all for listening to this episode so much. I hope you've enjoyed it. Please like and share. I know a lot of people haven't listened to Mao. This is the first time I'm doing a deep dive into Mao. Although this is the third time I've read a Poe's Book Worship, most of the other things that we'll be reading in this book I have never read by Mao before, which is a really nice experience to be able to do. So, yeah, please just like and share to spread Mao around. I know a lot of people like him, a lot of people don't. And I just think it's good just to get it all out there. So, yeah, that's all I have to say. Solidarity forever, and keep on reading.